Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, my next guest is credited for two of the most successful websites from the noughties, Unilad and Lad Bible, were the go-to websites for young males, and Alex Partridge was hailed as one of the first social media entrepreneurs. But an argument over ownership led to a very fraught court case for him and a subsequent battle with alcoholism. It also led to a late diagnosis of ADHD. All of this is documented in his new book. It's called Now It All Makes Sense, How ADHD Diagnosis Brought Clarity to My Life. And I'm delighted to welcome Alex to the programme now. Alex, thank you for joining us this morning.
Hello, thank you so much for the invitation.
No problem at all. Alex, before we get into the book, which I do want to talk to you about, maybe for those listeners who aren't familiar with Unilad and Lad Bible, you could just explain to us what that was and how you set it up and what your role in the company was and where the company is now.
Sure thing. So Unilad and Lad Bible started in my university bedroom in 2010. They grew incredibly quickly. There are social media brands, essentially online magazines, magazines on the internet targeted at students with sort of humorous articles, advice about campus, how to apply to uni, how to have fun. And they grew incredibly quickly. And 10 years later, they're now the two biggest online brands in terms of publications and online news, with an audience of around 300 million listeners and readers a month. So very overwhelming how quickly it grew. I started both in my university bedroom. I sold Lad Bible after 2 years. After 4 years, I made a mistake of bringing in partners to Unilad, and I got excluded from that company, and that triggered a five-year court case, which I won. But the process put me in hospital and ultimately nearly cost me my life through alcoholism.
And Ian, that's all documented very well in the book. And maybe we'll start going to look at a little bit more about why that happened to you at that time. But before we get into that, maybe again, because we're going to be talking about ADHD quite a bit, explain to our listeners what exactly ADHD is.
Well, it's an interesting question. If you ask a doctor or a psychologist, they would say that it's a neurodevelopmental disorder characterized by traits of impulsivity and forgetfulness and disorganization. And those things can definitely be there. But having reflected on my own life and spoken to over 200 people now on my podcast, ADHD Chatter, ADHD is so much more than that medical definition. It's a lifetime of being told that you're too sensitive and that you're too much and that you're not enough, and not understanding why you're so sensitive to rejection and criticism, and not recognizing that you have to put on this mask and change your entire personality to be more palatable, more likable for whoever you're standing in front of in any given day. It's not understanding why you feel so intrinsically misunderstood and broken. And then you get the diagnosis, or you become aware that you might be neurodivergent, that you might have ADHD. Often, heartbreakingly, particularly with women, it's very late. And you look back through this new lens that you have called awareness and understanding, and you grieve for the younger version of you that life could have been so different if you had known earlier. And you peel back that mask and you begin to realize that you're not broken, you're just different, and that you have always been enough.
Yeah, and that's what makes, I suppose, the title of your book so interesting. Now It All Makes Sense. So when you're looking back on your career, what do you mean by that? Like, what are the things that now make sense to you that you kind of look back and go, oh, yeah, maybe that is something that is explainable because I have ADHD?
I think certainly the way I worked, which ultimately led me to start Unilad and Lad Bible. I think there were 15, 20 businesses prior to the ones that were a success that ultimately failed. I think I was starting businesses in an attempt to escape the internalized feeling of being different. If I look back in my really early years, when I was 7 years old, and someone said to me in a classroom, "You could be one of the cool kids, Alex, if you weren't so weird." I had my first anxiety attack the following year, again, in a classroom. Always had this internalized hyperactivity. I describe it as 10 highly caffeinated squirrels running around in my head. And at school, that created a huge amount of anxiety. Sat there in the classroom, and out of nowhere, one day, the teacher pointed at me. And he said, "Alex, do you know the answer to this question?" And in that moment, all of the other classmates turned and looked at me. I felt my heart speeding up, and I stood up and ran out of the classroom, and I found someone in the corridor, and I said, "Please help me, call an ambulance. I'm having a heart attack." Mm. And then the paramedic arrived and, of course, reassured me that I wasn't having a heart attack. I was having my first anxiety attack at 7 years old. The thing that caused that is the same thing that enabled me to create businesses. Mm. It's that internalized hyperactivity when, if channeled correctly, in an environment where you're not overstimulated, where you feel safe, those squirrels can be channeled into creativity and hyperfocus and pattern recognition and being calm in a crisis, being resilient and loyal. And, you know, all of these things are tremendous traits for an entrepreneur.
Yeah, and it points to some of your success. As you say, there are very many negative sides, but some of it actually, from a business and an entrepreneurial point of view, is helpful to you. But I just want to go back a little bit to the childhood thing, because so many of the things that either form us or scar us are actually, you know, stemmed from our childhood. And those experiences that you talked about, panic attacks and that, you know, resonating with you throughout your life is something that comes across very clearly. In that period when you were setting up Unilad and Lad Bible, were you, you mentioned, hypersensitive, if you like, to the things that were successful at the time. And did that kind of take you off in a direction, or were you kind of determining the trajectory of the company, or did you feel like you were being carried along?
Certainly a bit of both. They both grew incredibly fast. There is a degree of humility that has to be said, that I was very much in the right place at the right time. Social media, particularly Facebook back then, were really prioritizing pages. I believe I was one of the first to create a commercialized page, and it grew very fast. And it was about a month after I started Unilad, I had an email from one of the largest pizza companies in Britain, and they offered me X amount of money to be promoted on the page. And I thought, if I somehow managed to even complete my degree, what this pizza company is offering me is about the same as I would get in my first year graduate salary. Mm. And I remember seeing that, and I impulsively left university the next week and went back to my parents' house to continue growing these two brands on social media. It very much ran away with itself. The snowball effect happened very quickly. And I just remember the hyperfocus. It was so intense back then. It was almost like to the point where my friends and family were quite concerned about me, because I wasn't leaving my bedroom. Mm. I was just so hyper-focused, and the laser vision towards growing these two brands was unrivaled.
And Alex, was that laser vision just focused on the numbers and the economics, or were you at all aware of the culture that was building around Lad Bible in particular, which was fairly toxic? And when you look back at it now through today's lens, just totally unacceptable.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there were huge mistakes made. And, you know, I'm deeply regretful for what Unilad and Lad Bible turned into and was at one stage. The biggest mistake I made was, I remember I was had Unilad on one screen and Lad Bible on the other, and the demand for content was massive. I was trying to manage all of the incoming emails from different brands, trying to manage all the emails all by myself. And I made the decision to essentially allow this. Anyone can submit content. It would become like a user-generated website. Mm. And that was the mistake, because suddenly that turned it into this wild west of unregulated cesspit. It was sometimes 500, 1,000 bits of content being posted a day. It was just automated. Mm. You know, there were sponsors on the site. The revenue was coming in. It seemed great. The mistake was taking my eye off actually what was going on the site and not recognizing that it brought out the most vile side of lad culture. I remember going onto Twitter one day and it was trending. Unilad was trending for the most terrible reasons you can imagine. And I remember pulling the site down, issuing an apology and saying I will greatly improve my editorial policies, which is what we did. But looking back, that was a huge mistake to turn it into this wild west of unregulated content.
Well, yeah, that's something that like a lot of platforms are still struggling with, and governments all around the world are struggling with trying to get their arms around at the moment, you know, still. And we're very far from a solution to any of that yet. But Alex, I want to turn to the book and the podcast. What were you hoping to do with this book? And just tell us a little more about the podcast and how it could help some people who may feel that this is something that they're suffering from.
I've always wished that I could go back in time and put my arms around younger version of Alex, the young boy having that anxiety attack in that corridor, and tell him that you're not broken. You don't need to be fixed. Everything is going to be okay. Mm. Of course, I can't do that. But what I can do is make as much noise about ADHD, speak to as many experts on my podcast, let people share their lived experience in the hope that a younger version of me does hear it and it enables them to start their journey of awareness earlier than I did. Had I known earlier about ADHD, I wouldn't have turned to alcohol to cure my anxiety. I would have recognized that that was a problem sooner, and I wouldn't have been in hospital with a nurse telling my parents, if Alex had one more drink, he would not be with us this morning. Alcohol poisoning would have taken his life yesterday. I wanted to condense all of my podcast conversations, which is a lot. And if you are into long form content, there's 200 episodes on ADHD Chatter. I've spoken to every academic, every psychiatrist, every celebrity with ADHD. It's all there. The book aims to condense all of those conversations, all of those 200 hours of really insightful emotional chats into a easily bite-sized digestible format, which hopefully will enable it to reach more people.
Well, Alex, it's a fascinating story, and thank you very much for taking the time to share it with us today. That was Alex Partridge, the author of Now It All Makes Sense, How an ADHD Diagnosis Brought Clarity to My Life. Thank you very much, Alex.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.